So the pine cone, we're talking about the pine cone, and you said there was a whole bunch of cabins.
Yeah.
And you have two of them here on your property.
And Glenn Green has got the other one's his garage over there.
I'll be darned. Well, you know, where I live in Perry, they said that there was a house there that burnt down. And the house that we live in now was put together with two, they called them sheds.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm wondering if it wasn't two of those little cabins from the pine cone.
Well, no, I don't hardly think so. They was all just alike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like these out here.
Hmm. So, what was a pine cone like?
Well, it had been a... They didn't call them all these places where they
motels.
They called them something else, but they had those cabins, and they people could go in there and stay all night. And then they had a swimming hole there.
Hmm.
And that run for a long time. I can remember when it was running.
Was there a gas station or a store there or anything?
I don't believe they had a gas station or a store. I'm sure they didn't.
Yeah.
They had a big house there.
It's so odd to think that something like that was there, because it's just...
Well,
on
now. Right next to them, there was a little farm.
Oh.
And they had a big barn and house there, and they farmed that land out in there where the weigh station is.
Where was the road?
I can't talk good.
Where was the road?
Well, the road was just between there and the railroad track, but it wasn't very wide. Mm.
I'll be darned. So that... Well, I'm trying to think.
Well, this road here, it used to go out here, and right there by the shop, it turned, and it went over into that Robbs Hill Road and followed the hill clear around.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I lost 2 or 3 acres of land here when they put the freeway in.
Yeah. And on the other side of the pine cone, on the other side of the railroad tracks up on the hill, what was up there back then?
Well... Years ago, there was a golf course there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guy that owned that other little place there, the pine cone, he bought that land, and he ran a few stalk up in there and whatnot. But at one time, it was a golf course.
Mm-hmm. Did people have to go up Robbs Hill Road to get to it?
No. No, they went right from the main highway. Them days, you just turned off the highway any place, you know.
Yeah, did go across the tracks?
Yeah.
Hmm. Boy. Yeah, I don't think there were any houses up there at any time, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
I think it was too
hard
to get.
Not in my memory, anyway.
Yeah. So, it seems, well, that's a... I guess it was just a little vacation spot then, the pine cone, someplace to stay along the road.
Yeah, more or less.
Hmm. Do you remember about how many cabins there were?
There were 6 or 7 at least. I can't remember just how many.
Yeah.
I got 2 of them and Glenn got 1. There was some more.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get them over to your place?
Well, that was quite a deal. They told us we'd have to tear them down, and Glenn tore his down and put it back together. But that guy that was building the freeway there, he had a bunch of the equipment in there. And he said, if you let me use them 2 while I'm here to store stuff in, he said, I'll move them for you when I get that grade put in there. He said,
well, that's a good deal.
Till that grade's finished, if mine, he said, I'll just pull them right up there. You put some skids in there.
Boy.
After he told me that, he got to thinking he couldn't get under this bridge over here.
Oh, no.
On the freeway, on his new deal. So he come up here one day and he said, if you'll come down there and flag for me, he said, I'll bring one of them cabins up here.
Oh, man.
He had some great big, Oh, they're like a dump truck, but they call them pay haulers. And he hooked one of them onto that one of them cabins and started up that road, and he never gave me time to get up here to stop the traffic.
Oh, no.
He come right up that old highway with that thing on skids.
Oh no.
And there was cars coming, and man, it's a wonder he didn't wreck somebody.
Yeah.
And but he pulled around here, and them skids was on fire when he came in here.
Well, I bet.
Because he was really going.
He didn't put any wheels or anything.
No, well, it was just on skids.
On skids. Jeez.
So then, quite a while later, he said, well, he come down, and he said, well, I'll bring that other cabin up. But he said, I'm going to let you get up there this time. And
yeah.
He got me get up here, and I stopped the traffic. And he wheeled that one up here with that thing.
Oh, man. Huh.
So they caught him, they'd have hung him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was right on the old highway. He wasn't on that new road he built. He was figuring on skidding him up Pedby. Uh-huh. What never thought about having to come back under the bridge over here.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, that's a hard way to get him over here.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Well, it was easy, for that matter, but it,
yeah, it was easier than
scared the devil out of me. I thought sure he was going to have a wreck.
Well, and cause a wreck, too. Yeah. So, I don't know why I've written down something about Freeway 59. I don't know where that was.
Where's Freeway 59?
I don't know. But something else I wanted to ask you about, a lot of people talked about stopping at Dead Man's Pass. Was there something there?
Well, no, there wasn't anything there. Kind of a campground. In them days, there it is now, you know, they've got a rest stop there.
Mm-hmm.
But them days, there wasn't anything, only just kind of a campground there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, some guy got killed there years and years ago, and that's why they called it Dead Man Pass. I never did get the straight of all of it.
No, I haven't either. I figured something like that had happened.
Yeah.
And then you talked about when you went over to Pendleton, you stopped at, and I can't remember the name of it, a springs.
A what?
Springs.
Spring?
Mm-hmm. You spent the night. Where did you spend the night?
Well, I think that was when they were coming back. That was up on the lake is up there now. That used to be a meadow, a big meadow.
Oh.
And they dammed it up and made a lake in there.
Oh, yeah.
But we stayed right on that meadow. It took us 2 days to get back, too, just like it did going over.
Yeah.
It was all dirt road, you know. There wasn't no pavement any place.
Yeah.
And that old wreck of a car.
Oh, man.
Has a 1914 model, I think.
I'll be darned. Huh. When you went to the Pendleton Roundup, where would you stay? Spend the night?
Oh, we camped right outside the grounds there.
No, but you said it took you 2 days to get
there.
Oh,
hell, we stayed at Dead Man Pass the first night, or the one night,
mm-hmm.
and then went in the next day.
Man, I don't see how you rode for 2 days, but then you cowboys rode clear across the country sometimes. But I wanted to go back and ask you about some more about the mill, because for one thing, you said that there was a strike at one time. And I can't remember if you said your dad worked there at the time or you did.
No, that was the mill in Elgin. I think I told you wrong on that.
Oh.
It was there at the mill in Elgin, and it belonged to old Bill Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He finally said, he went out of business and they sold it to Boise Cascade.
Huh.
But I was working there when they had that strike. We didn't have one here at this mill. It was down there.
Yeah, it must have been Elgin.
Yeah.
Do you remember about what time, when that was?
Well, it was about, let's see, 40. I was back in the Army. It was about 46, I think.
Hmm.
46 you guys, or 47.
Did you guys have a union?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well,
old Bill Moore owned that, and he he said if they struck, he's going to shut it down, and he did.
Oh, man. Why did he strike? Why does everybody strike?
Wasn't he getting enough money and whatnot? Mm-hmm. Some guys are getting more than others for doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Did the union come in and help you set up the strike and things like that?
Yeah.
Huh. Boy, that was...
But when that shut down, then I went over to Hebner and went run a ranch over there for my dad's cousin for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I come back and went back to work there, and then moved up to La Grande after that and went to work here.
Yeah. And your dad worked at the mill too.
Yeah.
At one time. Do you remember anything about that mill? About how it was run at that time?
That one in Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one Dad worked at. Well,
about the machinery or anything?
Oh, they didn't have the high-class machinery they got now, but they had pretty good machinery in it. Well, that wasn't really a sawmill. It was a box factory. And they took that lumber in there and planed it and cut it into pieces and made boxes and stuff. One time they made coffins in there, one time. Oh, or coffin handles it was.
Huh.
So and they made Venetian blinds too.
Venetian blinds?
Yeah.
So they had that. They sawed the logs there into the... And then they had a little factory there.
Well, see, Hanford Reed had a little sawmill there, and he cut the logs, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd sell them to that outfit.
And they made wooden boxes, and I didn't... You know, nowadays everything's cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't understand what they... But back then they used wooden boxes for everything.
Yeah, all your fruit and everything was put in wooden boxes.
Hmm. Oh, darn. I wonder about how many... What'd your dad do?
He worked in the boiler room.
Hmm.
Yeah. He night watched there for a while, and then he got in the boiler room.
Hmm. And what did he do?
Fired the boilers.
Huh.
They just had two of them there. I fired these down here, and there was 11 of them.
Man. So, did the machinery work with great big belts from the steam engine?
Yeah, the old belt.
And I suppose the belts turned the saws.
Mm-hmm.
They had engines, steam engines, and
this mill down here had all those steam boilers,
mm-hmm.
and they run that whole mill and part of the planer on that.
Man,
it had a great big engine in there and a belt that wide.
Boy, about 3 feet wide.
Yeah. And then had a lot of little belts out in the mill, you know.
Hmm.
It run the whole works.
Boy, I bet that was loud.
Oh, yeah.
Man, no wonder you can't hear. You said you couldn't hear. You were running those.
No, that boiler room alone just about ruined my hearing.
Yeah.
And then I run those turbines the last 2 years I was there, and they just whined all the time.
Man. What were the turbines fueled with?
Steam.
Steam?
Yeah.
Oh, so, I'll be darned. Do you remember how big the saws were that cut them? What kind of saws cut them?
Well, they had band saws they cut the logs up with.
Hmm.
And I don't know just how big they was. Glenn Greener could tell you, he run one of them.
Oh, yeah, I'll talk to him about that too. I forgot he works in the mill.
He's all there for
all his life. Did your dad ever talk about any of the logging or how they brought the logs into the mill way back then when he was working there?
Well, at the time he worked there, they was using trucks.
Oh, they were already.
Yeah, that was in later years. He must have been close to 60 when he was in there firing the boilers.
Oh.
But I can remember when they brought them in with bobsleds.
Oh, man.
And wagons.
Hmm.
Horses.
And they actually were sleds?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a set of runners in front and a set behind, just like a wagon with wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But they were runners.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd use them in the wintertime.
Oh.
All the men. One winter, there was a couple of loggers stayed at our place up north of Somerville there.
Mm-hmm.
And decked a whole big bunch of logs there, and that's the way they handled them.
Well, how'd they get them on the sleds?
Well, they fixed them an A-frame up like this with a cable and and a pulley on it. And then they had a kind of a regular derrick there at the deck when they'd take them off and put them in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd stick hooks. They had hooks that stick in the end of the logs and then up to the cable and pick them up.
I'll be darned, I never knew, because I can't imagine how they got them on there, or the wagons, or the trucks, anything, because I bet back then you could only put maybe one or two logs on a sled.
Oh, yeah, they was big logs.
Yeah.
Couldn't put very many on.
Did they do pretty much the same thing when they started loading trucks with logs?
Well, yeah, they just had what they call little jammers. Picked the logs up. They didn't have stuff like they got now.
How did that work?
Well, it worked. They had a big A-frame out deal and with a block and tackle on it. Pick them up, set them on the truck. I'd have to usually use a cant hook or something to turn them over where they wanted them.
Boy, that was a lot of hard work. We think we have it hard now, but
well, they unloaded them by using a peavey or a cant hook. You know what they are, don't you?
No, I don't. What are they?
I've got one out here someplace. Well, they got a long handle in them, a wooden handle, and they got a hook deal, and they hooked that in, and then they could turn the log.
I remember those. I've seen those. I didn't
know. I've got a couple old pieces of them hanging up out here on the patio.
Yeah.
And I've got a good one out there in the shop someplace.
I saw those, and I've seen those, and I thought they used them to hook logs, like on the pond.
Oh.
But they probably did that too, but I didn't really know what they were used for, so.
Well, they had two kinds of one of them they called a peavey. It was just the same as a cant hook, but it had a spike in the end of it.
Oh.
So they could jab them logs with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the old cant hook, it just, it had a little metal deal on there that hooked into the log.
Hmm.
Is all the difference it was.
So the men would use those to help move the logs onto and off of the rigs. Huh?
Now years ago, they used to float logs down this river, and the end of this old mill that was over here. Now I don't remember that, but I've talked to several guys that did.
Yeah.
And them guys that get on them logs and ride them down that river.
Oh, man.
They're big logs, you know, but boy, they'll roll. And they'd get on them and ride them right down the river.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Jeez. Yeah, I'd like to learn, know more about Perry, because I guess there was a great big dam there.
Yeah.
And a lake and
the dam was right here in the river, right up here, above the bridge.
Oh.
And that had that dam. I mean, that's where their logs come to there, and then I never did know just how they got them over to the mill from there.
Yeah.
They had a pond over there by the mill.
Mm-hmm. So the dam was on the river, and the river was where it is now?
Yeah.
Oh. See, I thought the dam was up near, closer to the mountain up there.
One time, I guess the river, years and years ago, must have run around through there.
Mm-hmm.
But when that mill was there, I did have a picture of it. I don't know what I've ever done with it. I picked up someplace and they showed the dam and part of Perry, upper Perry there, I mean the mill part.
Mm-hmm.
And the dam was right up there, just the other side of them bluffs.
Oh, just up, right up above lower Perry.
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. Well, that's Yeah, that would be pretty much in line with that
middle
part.
Yeah, right, straight across from there. Now, they used to have what they call Middle Perry.
Yeah.
And there was a section house there, and I don't know what all. There was still a section house there, I think, when we moved here. They tore it down.
Huh. Yeah, you can just see a few foundations, but I've seen pictures of Perry, Middle Perry.
Hmm.
And there was a little town there, and that's just so hard to believe because there's nothing there now.
Yeah.
But I suppose when people started moving out, they did the same thing they did with the cabins up at the Pine Cone.
Yeah.
People would use the wood and tear the places down and move them so that nothing was left of the whole place. You talked about the kilns on the that some of the heat was used for the kilns.
Mm-hmm.
What did the kilns do? I know what they do, but maybe some other people don't.
Well, they stacked all this lumber on wheels, and they had stickers in, so there was airspace in between them. And they'd back them into those kilns and turn them on for so long, and they'd dry them.
Oh.
The heat.
Yeah. I wonder how they do it now, because they don't use kilns. Oh, they still use kilns?
As far as I know, they're still using kilns.
Yeah.
I guess that's the way they get them in.
Yeah.
Years ago, they didn't. They just air dried all their lumber.
Hmm.
But those kilns are so much faster.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. You talked about a head rig. Talk about equipment. What is a head rig?
Well, that's your main saw.
Oh.
It saws the logs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that sawed the logs into boards?
Mm-hmm.
So, the guy that had the mill, did he go ahead and saw the lumber when they had the box factory? He went ahead and chopped it up into the sizes that they needed?
Yeah, he just sawed the lumber, and then it was planed, and they'd send it over to that place, and they'd plane it, and then they sawed it up. It was just rough lumber when it went over there.
Oh. Where was this place, do you know? The factory, the box factory?
In Elgin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know where that little restaurant, just before you get into Elgin?
Uh-huh.
Well, it was back over in that big open space back in there. I think there might be some old buildings and stuff, but I think they turned it into a cannery or something there at one time.
I'll be darned. Yeah, I know where that is.
It used to be over in there along the railroad track.
And they made Venetian blinds there too.
Yeah.
Did the mill then plane the lumber, those little wooden slats that small?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah.
Huh. Okay, I'm kind of going down the list here. You talked about Happy Canyon days, and you said somebody ran it. And I didn't quite catch who that was. You said somebody from Union used to...
Ben Jury.
Ben Jury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a write-up some magazine I was reading about Ben Jury a while back.
Oh, sure.
I don't remember what it was now.
Because it seems odd to me. I always... See, I've never been to a Happy Canyon. But Bev has, and she... What it sounds like to me was the Indians over there had... kind of a show and a pageant or something, and it was all, I thought it was all about the Indians, the Umatilla Indians.
Oh.
But it seemed kind of odd that somebody from Union would be running it, so it...
Well, he just contracted, he furnished stuff for the rodeo there, too.
Oh.
And all that stuff. But the Happy Canyon, it was back in the early days when the settlers come across, mm-hmm. and they had the covered wagons in there, and the Indians come in and they got in a fight, and, mm-hmm. and the cavalry come in and run the Indians off and all that stuff. Yeah. And then they'd turn the lights off for a few minutes, and they could turn some of that stuff over, and there'd be a little store and
I'll be done. And
saloon and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They'd put a show on in that.
I'll be darned. Huh. So it's kind of a little history of...
Oh, yeah. Okay. They had a pool of water there and a kind of a makeshift, looked like a bluff. Mm-hmm. And an Indian used to stand up on that and they'd shoot him off there. And
oh, boy.
He'd just fall off over in that water.
Oh, boy. So it's kind of a Wild Indian. West
He wasn't an Indian, though. He was a white man.
Oh, gosh. Oh, so that's what this guy from Union used to do. He used to put on that show and...
Yeah, he put that on. He furnished all the stuff for the panel and roundup, too.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know that. But I bet it's changed a lot now. You can't be shooting Indians off the bus now. I just wanted to record that. Because we talk about it, we know what we're talking about, but he said to be sure and tell where your house is, because other people won't know about it, and I'll just say that your house is across from Lower Perry.
Yeah, across the freeway from Lower Perry, mm-hmm. on the river.
Yeah. I wonder if before the freeway was there, I know you don't remember this, but I just wonder if there were any houses, if Lower Perry had more houses out this way toward you.
No, I don't think so. You see, they're right up against the railroad, mm-hmm. and there wasn't anything on this side of the railroad. At one time, years ago, there was a sawmill right up here, but the swimming hole, I don't remember it, but... I can't think of the name. The guy that lived up there, Hillgard, told me about it and showed me some pictures of it. I forget who run it. And anyway, it was right up there by the swimming hole.
Just right above your house here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll be darned. I didn't know about that.
Well, that was years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see that picture.
I believe them Robs has had it. Robs Hill was named after, I think he said.
Was that...
Eric Cantrell up there is the one that showed me the picture of that.
Hmm. Is he still alive?
No, he died. Oh. His wife's still alive, and she was going to give me one of them pictures, and she never did do it.
Oh, that's too bad. See, that's what happens, is... You remember a lot of things, and you have pictures, and then your kids, they don't mean anything to your kids, and they throw them away, and that picture probably got thrown away, too. You know? So, that's too bad. You talked about a ranch being in the back of the trucks, the dairy that you worked at was behind the truck stop.
Yeah.
And that's over near Ladd Canyon, isn't it? Is that what you
Well, it's right
about?
Square behind the truck stop there.
Mm-hmm.
It's toward Ladd Canyon, but it's right there by the back of the truck stop.
Yeah. Okay.
There's still a house there.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
I forget who the guy is that owns that.
Yeah. You talked about breaking Bronx since you were 10 years old. And I just can't hardly believe people were so tough back then. they won't even let kids ride a bicycle without a helmet nowadays. But what would you do? Just get on the horse and...
No, I just keep fooling with them and get on them. I dumped a few times.
Yeah. But how long would it take usually to break them?
If you keep riding them, it don't take too long.
Did you ride bareback?
Most of the time, yeah.
You said you have some really good pictures with horses. When you were a teenager, did you work with horses?
Oh, yeah.
On a ranch, or?
Well, we had a little ranch up there when I was a kid, and then I worked for other guys on ranches after I got big enough. And then I went over to Heppner. I worked over there quite a bit on the ranches.
When you were about 16 and 17?
Yeah.
What'd you do on the ranches?
Oh, I helped them hay and take care of their stock and whatnot.
When I was talking to this man that's running this project, we were talking about putting up hay. And see, since I don't know anything about it, he said there was pretty big, like a block and tackle rigging to put hay up into the lawn.
Yeah, derrick.
So, there weren't hay bales, were there?
Oh, no, everything was put up loose.
Yeah.
And they used Jackson forks. I got one out there along the road sitting there.
Oh.
A great big fork about that wide with big long teeth on it.
So about 3 or 4 feet wide.
Yeah. And you'd have a load of hay on a wagon, and you'd take that Jackson fork and jab it down in there, and then the derrick could lift it up. A lot of them put it in the barn, had a track up there.
Run it up into
the barn, and then others, they had what they called a Mormon derrick, a lot of them used. And put it up in big stacks outside.
Oh.
I've stacked a lot of that hay when I was just a kid myself.
Wouldn't the wind blow it away or anything?
No.
You just piled it?
No, you keep tramping it down and moving it around to get it so it all laid pretty flat. Once in a great while, the wind would blow the top off of one, but very seldom.
I'll be darned, because I
had a stack down here in the lower end of the field one time and just put up by hand, and a windstorm come and just rolled half of it over like that.
But when it's packed down, it stays pretty good, huh? And what would you use to, in the first place, what would you use, how did you gather the hay?
Well, they cut it with a mowing machine and raked it up with a rake. I've got one of them old dump rakes here, too.
And oh, I've seen those, yeah, with a...
Yeah.
It's got